Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First on the docket, Shanann's brother speaks. Second, a Texas mother dies after her baby is taken from her womb. Third, a case where you just wonder what people are doing. Fourth, a trial in absentia in South Carolina. A recent law grad with a work ethic. An Alabama woman makes a tough decision. And the Breonna Taylor grand jury release of information fight continues. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and our winner from last week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. If you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And we will be going live tomorrow on YouTube and Facebook, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. First on the docket, Shanann's brother speaks. A man who has been banned from many YouTube channels. If anyone said anything about his sister, he would go ballistic on them. Well, Mr. Frankie Ruzic wrote on his Facebook page that he highly recommends American Murder, The Family Next Door. He stated that the director made sure that we were a part of the whole process and we met the whole team personally. They made sure we were okay with them making this before they even started, unlike Lifetime's horrible movie. Which everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think that the documentary on Netflix was done much better, and it was taken from information that for nearly all of it has already been released in some form or another by the police authorities. We've talked about this. Chris Watts is what helped us start our channel here because we were so unimpressed by the coverage that was being done by the local news channels about this particular case. This is one of those cases that will never, ever go away. Now the word on the street is that Chris Watts was triggered by the mere thought that this documentary was produced and is now out there on the internet. And he's curious as to what people think of it. Well, I think most people will conclude that Chris Watts is not a good human being at all because he admitted to the deaths of his wife and two daughters and unborn son. He will never get out of prison, and he has about this much chance of getting a new hearing regarding on withdrawing his guilty plea. That's right, 0% chance of getting a hearing on this particular matter. And think about it. He's confessed to the police after the interrogation. He confessed to his father before the interrogation. And he explained away that he just made up the story about Shanann hurting the children in his post-interview when the agents went up to talk with him to fill in some blanks, so to speak. That's all a confession, Chris. You're going nowhere. Let's just say they threw out your original confession, which isn't going to happen. No judge is going to do that. They still have your other confession. Make yourself comfortable there, Chris. You're going nowhere. Next on the docket, a pregnant Texas woman was killed and her baby was taken from her womb. Now the suspect is in custody. The body of Reagan Hancock, she was 21, was discovered inside a home in New Boston around 10:20 a.m. after the police received a 911 call. The preliminary investigation indicated an unborn child had been removed from the victim's body. Now, Miss Hancock was 7.5 months pregnant, and the female suspect has been taken into custody in Oklahoma. No further details have been released on the suspect, but this is a case we are certainly going to follow. Next on the docket, a case that makes you just wonder why people do such cruel and stupid things. A man has been arrested after he was reportedly caught putting razor blades into pizza dough that was then sold to customers. Now, the incident occurred at the Sacco Hannaford supermarket in Sacco, Maine, which is near to both Kennebunkport and Portland. Police were notified regarding a suspected food tampering. A customer had reportedly purchased a Portland pizza dough and then later found an undisclosed number of razor blades inside the product. The grocery store then launched their own investigation and reviewed store security surveillance footage, which led them to Nicholas R. Mitchell, whom they allegedly caught tampering with the packaging for several Portland pie pizza doughs. Nicholas Mitchell is a former associate of It'll Be Pizza Company, who manufactures products in Portland pie. Police immediately released a description of Mitchell, and he was apprehended shortly thereafter. It's unclear as to what Mitchell's motivations were in this case, or if he was targeting anybody specifically. This is just the type of case which is, we'll see if it's completely random or not, but who goes around trying to harm completely innocent victims? It is simply unthinkable. And, you know, assuming these people who bought the pies had no reason to be harmed in any way, which who would by putting razor blades in them? That's absolutely ridiculous. I think Mr. Mitchell, although given the presumption of innocence, if he is convicted, needs to go to prison, no doubt. Next on the docket, a recent law graduate with a true work ethic. Now, how can this law student who just took the bar exam prove to the world that she is going to be a great attorney? That's right. She has a work ethic which is beyond reproach. Brittany Hill recently graduated from Chicago's La Jolla University School of Law and was all set up to take the bar last Monday, 38 weeks into her pregnancy. The exam had been pushed back due to the pandemic. She says she felt a sensation down below during the first of the four-part test, which is spread out over 2 days. Sure enough, Brianna eventually discovered her water had broken, but only after she completed that initial round. For those of you who don't know, usually the bar exam is spread out over 2 days, three in some states, I believe like California's used to be and still is. Miraculously, Hill was able to complete the second 90-minute section, and only then did she get to the hospital and her hubby and midwife in tow. She had the kid 5 hours later, then got back on the grind relating to taking the bar exam the next day. She buckled down, completed the rest of the bar the next day from a room in the hospital, and was even able to nurse her baby in between breaks. When asked why she wanted to continue with the bar exam, she stated that it felt pretty much as if it was now or never and was determined to get it done. Anyone who's taken the bar exam knows you don't want to take a second one for sure. So let's hope that Brianna passes and does well. Now, I say that jokingly, what a work ethic. You'd be surprised. Some people today, when I went to law school and graduated, literally attorneys were expected to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. That's just the way it was. You were going to bill, bill, bill. Now, some of the younger associates these days are more into an 8-to-5 type of gig, don't work weekends, which is absolutely unheard of. I can tell you, after 25 years of practice, I still work at least one, if not both days on the weekend just to get caught up and prepare for the week ahead. It is literally a 7-day-a-week career, and a lot of people don't like that. This woman, Miss Brianna Hill, my hat's off to her if she can get through this, be pregnant, and finish law school. Congratulations to you. My son was born my last year of law school, and I can completely appreciate how difficult it is studying for the bar exam when I had dad duties as well. When I would get home, my wife would hand me my son and say, he's colicky, he's all yours. So I get it. Hats off to Brianna Hill. Great job. I hope you pass and get a great job. Next on the docket, a trial in absentia. That's right. For those of you who do not know, absentia means that you will be tried without you being there. Now, that doesn't happen in most jurisdictions. Normally, if you fail to appear, the trial is stayed until they find you, arrest you, normally keep you in custody so that you can't fail to appear again. Now, I've only done one trial in absentia, and that was in the military. If somebody fails to appear after the arraignment, they then can be tried without them being there. Only had it happen once, never seen it done again. Well, apparently in South Carolina, you can still be tried in absentia. And this particular case regarding a woman from North Myrtle Beach, Alyssa DeVault, Alyssa DeVault, is charged with homicide by child abuse and destruction, desecration, or removal of human remains. Police allege that Ms. DeVault gave birth to a baby boy at her home in December of 2018. She allegedly told authorities she failed to seek medical treatment and didn't personally take action to attempt to save the infant's life. Arrest warrant states that DeVault then put the child's body in a trash can at her North Myrtle Beach home without notifying authorities. DeVault also reportedly told police she'd given birth to another child, a baby girl, back in November of 2017. The situation allegedly had the same outcome. Well, the trial for Ms. DeVault was to begin today, but she failed to show today for her first day of trial. Her lawyer stated that he had not spoken with her since last week, and now she will face trial in absentia, in her absence. Ms. DeVault, not doing a favor to yourself at all by not showing up, and a jury will find you guilty real quick when they don't have to look you in the eye sitting there in a courtroom. Before we continue on with the docket, let's take a quick recess. Please, ladies and gentlemen, go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You will be absolutely pleased that you did. When you do a background search, when you sign up, yes, there's a nominal fee, but you can cancel at any time, but it's worth it because you can anonymously search as many people as you would like. Think about all the people that you have a relationship with, or maybe you're thinking about getting into a relationship with. Find out what you need to know. Everybody has a secret. So when you go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up, you can search individuals and you can find out if they have a criminal history. You can look at marital records, property records. You can look at phone numbers associated with their name, email addresses, as well as social media. Everyone's hiding something, ladies and gentlemen. Find out what it is. Go to crimetalksearch.com, look it up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, a case that we have talked about a while ago. That's the case of Brittany Joyce Smith. And she was a woman charged with murder, where she allegedly shot the man who was assaulting her brother, and then also claimed that the man that she shot had sexually assaulted her. Well, today she pled guilty to murdering a man who, she said, had sexually assaulted her. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison. However, under her terms of her sentence, she is set to serve 18 months in the Jackson County Jail and 18 months on house arrest. Her lawyer said that she'll be out behind bars in about 7 months because of credit for time served. Now, she was scheduled to stand trial next month in the case of Todd Smith. She had said that he had attacked her at her home, headbutted her, choked her until she passed out, sexually assaulted her, and threatened to kill her. The defendant said that she did not report this because she was afraid, but did leave the name of her attacker with a gas station attendant in case she ended up dying. She said that her brother, Chris McCallie, confronted Todd Smith about the alleged sexual assault. Her brother put down his gun after accidentally firing it into a cabinet, and they got into a fight with Todd Smith. The defendant said that she fatally shot her accused rapist as he was winning the fight and threatening to kill them both. The defense asserted that the shooting was legal under Alabama's Stand Your Ground law, but the court ruled against Brittany Smith in pretrial motions. Basically, the court said, you have to face the jury. The jury will decide whether this was justified. Needless to say, she pled guilty. And everyone close to her thinks that she's innocent, but that she pled guilty because she was scared. She was backed against the wall, afraid she was going to spend the rest of her life in prison. That's according to her boyfriend. She did, in fact, face a possible life sentence if convicted at trial. According to her attorney, Ron Smith, he said, in any case, you've got to weigh what you know and can control with what you can't. That's good advice there. We have no control over a jury or a judge that would sentence her. Now, that's true. And this is a pretty good disposition when you're looking at spending the rest of your life in prison. But with credit time served, you basically do another year and a half, half of that on in-home detention. That's one of those cases where you simply have to tell your client, don't engage in what is commonly referred to as felony math. You know, a couple years is too much, but life is okay. No, you don't take those gambles on cases. Now, do people plead guilty all the time when they're innocent to get out of custody? Absolutely. And when you're facing a potential life sentence and you're basically going home in a month or two, you take the deal, whether you're innocent or not. No one gambles like that. So tough decision on her part, but in this particular case, I think Brittany Smith made the right call. And her attorney's absolutely correct. If you are a gambler, you go to trial. If you're not a gambler, you take pleas. That's what the court system is set up to accommodate, is guilty pleas and to get people through the system. If everyone went to trial, the system would shut down. Next on the docket, the Breonna Taylor grand juror's struggle to speak continues. The attorney for an anonymous grand juror in the Breonna Taylor case filed a reply Sunday to the Kentucky Attorney General's request for a stay of a court order allowing the juror to speak out publicly until after a potential state appeal. The anonymous juror wants to publicly discuss their service on the Taylor case. Now, the Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge Annie O'Connell has yet to rule on the request after hearing arguments last week. The Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron indicated he would appeal if O'Connell allows the juror to speak out. He filed a motion by the state requesting a stay of any order allowing the grand juror to speak publicly while the state appeals the case or seeks additional relief. Apparently, the anonymous grand juror, through his attorney, submits that the attorney general cannot choose to part from the rules in disclosing information and then use his position to prevent others from responding to his misleading remarks. It is alleged by the anonymous grand juror that the way that Cameron has handled this case, filed by anonymous juror number one and made public disclosures about the grand jury procedures, makes it overwhelmingly clear it is his position he should be allowed to discuss portions of the grand jury proceedings that were not recorded, but no one else should have the same ability, no matter how inconsistent his public statements are with the actual recordings. Now, what this means is that the grand juror wants to be able to discuss what wasn't presented, what were not on the audio tapes. And if you're interested, guess what? We have all those audio tapes from the Breonna Taylor grand jury. You can listen for yourself to see if you think there was anything nefarious or something that was done illegally. I've told you last week, and I was in trial, it's still part of my homework, but what I've listened to, and I've listened to more since last time we spoke, once again, I still haven't heard anything that jumps out at me as being anything out of the ordinary or not a normal grand jury proceeding. Now, grand juries are supposed to be kept in secret, so there's a couple reasons for that. So the people that are being investigated don't know about it, that the grand jurors remain anonymous so that people won't be retaliated against or some way impugned for being on the grand jury. And third, it just makes it simpler where people are not under suspicion of being a grand juror and can be influenced in any way whatsoever. It's been that way since the start, the founding of our country. Grand juries have existed. They're a grand jury, so there's more than 12. It's usually 15 to 30 people in a grand jury, a petite jury or a trial jury, no greater than 12 plus alternates. But the grand jurors only get to decide on the evidence that is presented. Now, this grand juror didn't believe that there was probable cause or there was probable cause. They probably should have stood up at the hearing, but it doesn't mean that they all have to agree with it. The question is simply, is there enough information for the case to go forward? Grand juries, unlike in the movies, don't get to run away with cases and go off and do their own investigations. It simply doesn't handle that way. The fact that we got the grand jury tapes released is very unusual in and of itself that they be released to the public. Normally, grand jury transcripts are released to the defendant and their counsel with strict protection orders in place. Grand jurors are never identified in those proceedings. You simply get the transcript of the evidence that was presented. That's it. And I cannot think of the last time I've ever seen a case thrown out because of any sort of grand juror misconduct. Everything's on the record. Everything's recorded or in type format. So if there is an issue, they'll know exactly what it is. And if someone has a problem with it, well, then you go to the elected officials, and the elected officials say they're going to change the cases they're going to prosecute. But in this particular case, I don't see anything about the case that pauses. At this point, what I've seen, nothing gives me pause as to the way the grand jury was conducted. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But first, our winner from last week. That's right. Beth Ann, the lady who turned in her meth to the police department because she didn't think it was of the quality that she thought it should be. As a lot of the subscribers and people leaving comments have stated, she'll be referred to as Meth Beth. And guess what, Beth Ann, aka Meth Beth? That's right. We're going to find you. We're going to send you a dumb criminal contestant prize. That's right, a Crime Talk mug. You can drink out of it from pride. Don't take it to the police department unless you want to give it to the police officers. You can do that, I guess. But congratulations, you're a winner. Don't let anybody ever tell you differently there, Beth Ann. You're a winner in your own right. All right, now finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Meet Erica Piedra. Now, Erica Piedra lives by the mantra of early's on time, on time is late, and late is unacceptable. Learn it, know it, live it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Miss Piedra has high standards, particularly for, that's right, her children's bus driver. So when the bus driver was dropping off the child the other day, the mother, Miss Erica Piedra, stormed onto the bus, screaming and cursing, and pushed the bus driver into the wall of the bus. Why? Because the bus was 30 minutes late. Now, the bus driver didn't report the incident until 4 days later, but the detectives called the bus driver, who confirmed the story. Miss Piedra was arrested and booked into the Manatee County Jail in charges of aggravated battery on a pregnant woman. Not good, Miss Piedra. When asked why the victim did not report the assault earlier, she told the investigators that she became more fearful each time she had to drop off students at the bus stop, so she finally reported the incident. But it sounds like she was a little scared of Miss Piedra. Miss Piedra, take a chill pill, all right? Relax, let it go. What could have been so important that got you arrested on felony charges? All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Remember, join us live tomorrow night, 6 p.m. here both on YouTube and Facebook. And if you would like to have some Crime Talk merchandise without having to become the dumb criminal contestant of the day, simply go to the Teespring link below, check out all the store merchandise there, and order your gear. Thanks for watching. Have a great day.